Every cell in your body contains roughly 2 meters of DNA, coiled, compressed, and packed into a nucleus so small you could fit thousands of them on the period at the end of this sentence. That is not a metaphor. That is the actual scale of what biology pulls off, every second, in every one of your 37 trillion cells. And the molecule responsible for all of it wasn't discovered by Watson and Crick. That's the part most people get wrong, Stephen. DNA was first isolated in the late 1860s by a Swiss chemist named Friedrich Miescher. He found it while analyzing the white blood cells scraped from used surgical bandages. Not exactly glamorous lab work, but the starting point of one of science's most consequential stories. Now, isolating a molecule and understanding its structure are two very different things. For decades, scientists knew DNA existed, but had no idea what it looked like or how it worked. The key idea that unlocked everything came from an unlikely combination of chemistry, physics, and a photograph. Erwin Chargaff noticed something strange in his chemical analyses. Adenine and thymine always appeared in comparable amounts inside DNA, and so did cytosine and guanine. That ratio wasn't random, it was a clue. Meanwhile, at King's College London, Rosalind Franklin and Maurice Wilkins were firing X-rays at DNA fibers and capturing the patterns those rays made as they scattered. X-ray diffraction, the technique is called. The patterns revealed that DNA had a regular, repeating, helical structure and gave precise clues about its physical dimensions. Franklin's most critical image, known as Photograph 51, was particularly sharp evidence of that helix. Without that data, the model that followed would have been, by many accounts, nearly impossible to build. James Watson and Francis Crick did not run their own experiments on DNA fibers. They built a model. Think of it like an architect working from a surveyor's measurements. They used the experimental findings from King's College, including Franklin's X-ray data, to construct a three-dimensional picture of what DNA must look like. On April 25th, 1953, their paper, A Structure for Deoxyribose Nucleic Acid, appeared in Nature. It was roughly 900 words long, about the length of a short magazine article. That same issue of Nature contained two additional papers, one by Wilkins and colleagues, one by Franklin and Raymond Gosling. The discovery is often told as a two-man story, Stephen, but the publication record is clear. Franklin, Gosling, Wilkins, Alex Stokes, and Herbert Wilson all contributed directly to the evidence published alongside the model. The illustration in Watson and Crick's paper, incidentally, was hand-drawn by Odile Crick, Francis's wife. The three papers were published without the peer review process standard in modern science. So, what did the model actually show? The DNA double helix consists of two long strands of nucleotides twisted around each other, the spiral staircase, the title of this lecture references. The sugar and phosphate portions of each nucleotide form the outer rails of that staircase. The bases, adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine, point inward and stack over one another like the steps. Here is where Chargaff's ratios snapped into place. Adenine pairs specifically with thymine, and cytosine pairs specifically with guanine. Hydrogen bonds hold each pair together. The two strands run in opposite directions, a configuration called anti-parallel orientation. For example, if you read one strand from top to bottom, the other runs bottom to top. That anti-parallel, base-paired architecture is not just elegant, it is functional. Watson and Crick noted in their paper that without this specific pairing, the mechanism for copying genetic material would be very difficult to explain. Each strand, because it is complementary to the other, can serve as a template. Unzip the helix, build a new partner strand for each half, and you have two identical copies where there was one. The takeaway here is this. The double helix is not just a shape. It is a solution to two problems at once. The base pairing rules, A with T, C with G, give DNA a language precise enough to encode the instructions for building an entire organism. And the complementary strand architecture gives the molecule a built-in copy mechanism, one that keeps those instructions consistent every time a cell divides. Watson, Crick, and Wilkins received the 1962 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for this work. Franklin had died in 1958, and Nobel Prizes are not awarded posthumously, so she was not included. Remember that the structure they revealed is the reason heredity works at all, Stephen, the reason you carry traits from people who lived generations before you, locked inside every cell in 2 meters of twisted, paired, purposeful chemistry.